Blog Talk Radio.
How old you are. We'd like to thank you for tuning in this evening on Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And, of course, we have our featured speaker from Pastor Dawn Nixon from Long Island, New York. She is pastor, executive pastor at the Mount Calvary Holy Church of Huntington, New York. So if you have her in Long Island, make sure that you look her up. Amen. Look her up. That's at Mount Calvary Holy Church of Huntington, New York. Amen. That's a place that's close to my heart, Long Island, New York. We're going to move on over into Huntington, Long Island, New York, and we're going to allow Pastor Nixon to usher us in to however God is going to move forth on her spirit. Amen. So we're going to move out of the way, and we're going to turn it on over to Pastor Dawn Nixon from Long Island, New York. God bless you. Pastor Nixon,
God bless you. Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful to be back on the air with you on today. This is one of our weekly things that we do, and I'm so excited because I believe that there is a great word from the Lord. So if you are online, please call somebody and let them know that we are on the air. I believe that this will benefit all of those who are hearers of the word. And you will then become doers of the word. So we're excited. I want to go into a word of prayer before we go forth into the Bible study on tonight. I pray that that something that we say today will be life-changing for those who are hearing it on tonight. So our Father and our God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your many blessings to us. God, we thank you because we know that you are able to do all things but fail. We acknowledge the fact that you are God and God alone. There is no other God beside you. And God, we thank you tonight because as we glean from your word tonight, we pray, oh God, that you will say something to us that will be life-changing, something that will cause us to reverse the path that we're on that is not of your will. But God, let us walk in the will and the way that you have concerning us. And so we're grateful tonight, God, that you will move by your mighty, mighty power. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So I want to talk about tonight, you have divine purpose. You have divine purpose. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with you before, but I believe that the Lord has compelled me to kind of share this, and we are doing this on our local assembly. We are doing this series concerning ourselves and where we need to be in God and know that we have purpose. And what I must let you know that anybody that is on the earth has divine purpose. They have a reason. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you're breathing. There's a reason why you're born. And so a lot of times we take for granted the very breath that we breathe, not acknowledging the fact that the reason why we are here is because it was God's divine order and God's divine will that we be here. And so that we can understand what God has really, really placed in us and what the purpose of our being here is for. And there are many questions as people we ask. And we've been dealing with the series with the five questions that we have asked ourselves, or many people do ask themselves. One of the first questions that we ask as human beings is, who am I? We go through life trying to figure out who we are. There are many people who are trying to find themselves, and oftentimes I say this around the age of maybe about 15, 16, 17, we're trying to find out who we are. We say stuff like, I'm going to find myself. And so there are those who are looking, what is my purpose? Why am I here? And so that's one of the questions that many people ask. The next question is, where am I from? And a lot of times we think because of our nationality, we think we're from descendants from Africa, descendants from India, descendants from Pakistan. But there is a place that you're from that's far beyond your culture, that is far beyond where your ancestors are from. But your very beginnings go far beyond the dynamics of where you have been located from, your ancestry. And so we want to know who I am, where am I from, and then we want to know, why am I here? That's one of the big questions that people ask. Why am I here? especially when things are not going in the way they feel that they should go. What is the purpose of me being here if I have to go through some of the things that I have gone through? And there's two more questions that we ask. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
Once I find out who I am, once I know where I'm from, once I realize why I'm here, the next question would be, what can I do? And there is a gift that God has placed in each and every one of us, and the gifting that we have, whether we perfect it or not, there is a gifting that you have. Each individual, whenever God designed you, when you were first born, there was a gift that was planted in you. So your first birthday gift was not everything that you got on your first birthday or what people gave you when you were born, but your first gift was given to you way before people knew of your existence. God knew when you were going to be, and he knew when you were going to be conceived. He has already ordained your footsteps. He already knew the time you would be conceived and the time you would be born. And when you were born, when your parent, your mother gave birth to you, there was a gift that's already implanted in you. And we call it different talents that you may have. There are people who are gifted to sing, people who are gifted to write. They're gifted in so many different ways. So those gifts have already been implanted to you. So I know you think the first gift came from grandma, but the truth of the matter was the first gift came from God. And so, and the last question we would ask is, where am I going? That's a good question right there. There are a lot of people who want to know where they're going. And after the life that they may have led through all of the things that they have done in their life, some good, some bad, the question they may ask is, where am I going? And so let's first understand in Genesis 2 and 7. We're going to go to Genesis 2 and 7. And it reads, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature." It's very important that we understand why this was done and why God allowed this to happen for us. Why would God breathe into man? What was the purpose of all of that? You have to understand, the climax of God's creative work was his extraordinary creation of man. And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth, from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, this made man become a living being. What you must understand is the God who is the supreme creator of heaven and earth did two things when he created man. First, he formed him from the very dust of the ground. And then second, he breathed his own breath into the nostrils of Adam. Watch this. This distinguishes man from all other of God's other creative creatures. Why? Because we are the only being that God breathed into to create us. And this one passage contains three significant facts about man's creation. And what that is, the first is that God and God alone created man. Man did not evolve from other creatures. I need for us to understand it. I know some people in history books, we were told this. We evolved from apes, and we evolved from this, and there was a Big Bang theory. And when people can't explain who God is and can't explain the things that God has done, then we have to try to make up something to make it seem as if what was done was because our finite mind can't understand how God works. So we have to figure it out for ourselves so it makes sense to us. But we have to understand that things that God does, our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. So all the cells, the DNA, the atoms, the molecules, the hydrants, the protons, neutrons, all electrons did not create man. These are the substances that make up man's physical body, but they are not what made man. The Lord God formed man. That's period. That's how this happened. And the Lord God created the substance, and then he used those substances to create man. And so the word is the word formed is translation of the Hebrew yastar, which means to mold or shape or form. And so when God does, when God did what he did, we have to understand God is so creative of how he does things. When we think about the breath of God, somewhere and somehow man got smart enough to understand that maybe if somebody loses their breath, they can go in and breathe into them again and understand that that's how life was formed. And so when we breathe for that person who's lost their breath, we pinch their nose and breathe into their mouth, where God breathed into our nostrils. Because God understood, and this same method works. So if it worked when God did it, man had to understand that, well, maybe if I can breathe into them, and then they can breathe life back. And so we're going to realize that there was also a second breath that took place. God breathed his own breath of life into man. Man is more than the dust or physical substance. Man has a spirit. What you must understand, we are spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we can picture it this way, okay? So let's look at it this way. Adam's body had just been formed, right, by God, and formed from the dust of the earth, a lifeless human body, and it's just lying on the ground. And then God leans over and breathes his own breath of life into the man's nostrils. God is the source of life, and he directly placed life within man. This breath of life is seen again in John 20 and 22. Watch this. In John 20 and 22, let's go there. John 20, 22 says, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them," meaning his disciples, "and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit." Okay, so here is another breath of life that God brings into to mankind. Why? Because we have to understand, once sin had entered into the world, God then had to restore us. He had to bring us back to himself. And so he breathes into his disciples, and he imparts new life into his disciples. Okay? The third thing in Genesis 2 and 7 tells us that man became a living soul. The word soul in Hebrew is nephsha, which means an animated, breathing, and living being. So man did not become a living soul until God breathed life into him as a physical, animated being. And so what we have to understand, God had already designed the order and steps of what man was supposed to do and what he was supposed to be. So we've got an understanding that God had a set order. And I this is what I don't understand about many people in the church today. They want to do church the way they want to do church, but they don't want to do church in the order or divine order of God. We share this with our church. There are three steps that God did in his divine order. First thing is we recognize it is God first, marriage second, and family third. When you see the creation of man, the first thing was God existing. Before there was man ever on the earth, there was God. And then the next thing after God decided to make man, he then turned around and said, man should not be alone. So he planned and he ordained that marriage would be the next part of man's of life. So all of these people, now we're living in a day where people say, well, no, it's all right for us to live together. It's all right for us to do this. It's all right, and we want to do all of these things. What if it doesn't work out? But there is a order that God has already set for man to have. And so we do all of these different things. We want to live the life of marriage, but we don't want to do it in the order of God. So it's very important that we have God first, marriage second, and then family, because a lot of times we also want to put the church before we put all these other things. But you have to realize there was no church when God designed man. The church was not in existence watch this, there was no need for the church because there was already a relationship with God. Church needed to come after the fact that we had a falling, and that was a way to bring man and have a place for us to come to so that we would have an understanding of the second breath that God breathed into his disciples or imparted into us so that we would be able to have the gift, another gift. Watch this. The first gift when you're born, but there's another gift that God gives us, which was the gift of eternal life, which was lost in the garden. So we've got to understand the purpose of what God has done. So we are here for a purpose. Who am I? I am a child of God. I am who God has designed and made me who I am. There are many people who are going through identity crisis trying to figure out who I am and why am I here. The question, as we shared before, where am I from? I am from the very breath of God. That is where I'm from. I am from the breath of God. I am from the very handiwork of God. And you have to understand that we are the very handiwork of God, the very thought that this particular God, our God, who is the creator of all things, he took the time with man. This is what we have to appreciate as a human race. We have to appreciate the fact that God took his very hand to mold us and shape us and his own image and likeness, and then turn around and then breathe into us. He didn't breathe into the snake. He didn't breathe into the rat. He didn't breathe into the cow, but he breathed into mankind and gave us and made us a living soul. So it is very important that you understand how important you are as human beings, and understand that what God has given you, the purpose of who you are, the reason why you were here, the reason why you're here is to serve and worship the Lord God. And so as we're getting ready to enter into our Holy Week, we understand that God has done something that most people really would have probably done a different way. And I share this all the time during Holy Week because I understand that God, who has an assignment, his assignment was to be fulfilled. And in order for his assignment to be fulfilled, to bring mankind back to God, and I shared this with the people of God as well, God or Jesus knew his assignment. Not only did he know his assignment, but he knew the details of his assignment. We as people of God may know what our assignment is, but we don't know the details of our assignment, which is totally different. And the reason why we don't know the details of our assignment is because if we knew everything that we had to go through to get to God's will and God's glory and God's promise for our lives, we would turn away and run scared.
Amen.
Because we would not be able to handle the details of our assignment. And when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," finish means to have completed something in perfect detail. And so when we understand that God can only give us a little bit of what we're going to have to deal with, he only shows us what is a little bit ahead of us. If you're driving a car, people of God, you can't see what's 10 miles down the road. You don't know what you're about to face 10 miles down the road. You only see what a few feet that are before you. And because you only see that are before you, you can only deal with what is before you. Because if I knew that further down the road, and some things we would love to know ahead of time, but there's some things we can't handle ahead of time. So God shows us only a few feet that are before us, because God lets us know. Now, if you knew you were going to get into an accident 10 miles up the road, you would even go 10 miles up the road. You would detour and go somewhere else. You would alter the plan for your life. Watch this. The accident may come and show you the glory of God. It is not there necessary to destroy you or to kill you, but there's some things as people of God we're going to have to go through in life. We can't avoid it. We can't avoid it. There's some things that we're going to have to deal in order to build our spiritual growth. And not only that, to build us as people of God, to know that if God is capable of delivering me out of this accident or delivering me out of this situation, I have it. What it does is build up my faith in God. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, you know, that's necessarily the way God is always going to work. But sometimes we look at the accident. I'll never forget when I was about 18 years old. It was me and my sister, my fiance at the time. We were driving on our way from Virginia to Baltimore, Maryland, and there was a tractor trailer, and it just we were sitting on the far lane, and the tractor trailer just came over and knocked us off. We were in a little small Nissan Sentra, and it knocked us right into the ditch.
My God.
We should have been dead because the tractor trailer hit us, but God covered us. And even though we went through that process, God kept us and sustained us. He says, listen, you still have purpose, so I'm going to leave you here, but this accident is going to show you my glory. It's also going to show you that if I can deliver you out of this, because most people who have been hit by a tractor trailer do not survive.
Amen.
So I'm going to show you this. Not only that, then now in 2000, here comes another accident that comes into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And a 2000 limousine comes and hits us in standstill traffic.
My God.
Which should have taken out everyone in the van. But those were the divine orders, the steps that were supposed to take place in my life that I did not see at the age of 10 and 12, 18 and 20, those different things that were about to happen in my life. But God had already said, okay, this is going to happen in your life. This is divine order. This is the ordained footsteps that you have to take. You have to understand that every ordained footstep that you take in God, which is the will of God for your life, is not necessarily always going to be good.
Yeah.
But it's always going to serve a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to have purpose. And so when I realize and recognize that everything that I go through has a purpose, you getting put out of your house, you may say, I don't understand this purpose because, God, if you're my God, why in the world do I have to go through this? Well, you're just going to get you to appreciate, watch this, the next house that you get.
Yeah.
It's going to make you understand that if God can get me out of this, the next person that you see homeless, you can tell them God is a God that can put shelter back over your head and food on your table. You have to have some type of testimony in order for you to understand how God is going to serve your purpose. And so we've got to understand who I am, where I'm from, why am I here.
Yeah.
All of us have assignment of why we're here. We're here to help somebody else, watch this, get to their destination in God. There are so many people that people out there are connected to that are waiting on you to fulfill your assignment. There are people that I cannot reach that Elder Clay can reach. There are people that Elder Clay can't reach that Minister Herman can reach. And so we've got to understand that it's not one man that does all things.
That's right.
But when we come together as a body of believers, understanding them, getting people to understand the fulfillment of the purpose of God that has for them, there is nothing that we can't do. And so I realize that God has given us the power. People of God know this. Since I am a child of God, I have the power that God has given us. And you have the power that God has given you to alter and change the things that God has allowed for you to change. I was so funny because Minister Edna hit me up on yesterday. She texted me, and we prayed on Sunday, and we had this big storm coming.
Yes.
We had this big storm coming, Elder Clay. And they started talking about 18 inches here, 20 inches over here. And as we were getting ready to close the prayer on Sunday, I said, the devil is a liar. I said, I don't want to shovel, Lord. I really was saying in my spirit, Lord, I don't want to shovel. I began to pray, God, send the storm in another direction.
She prayed. Yes.
Prayed, God, send it in another direction. And as I'm praying, and I got more detail in my prayer, some folks began to laugh. I was so serious. I wanted God to move and shift that thing. We are ready to get out of this winter thing going on in here. Do you not know on yesterday?
Yeah.
And Sister Herman, Minister Herman, can she's on the air, maybe some of my other members.
Yes,
we got nothing but slush out.
Yes.
So the 18, 20 inches didn't show up. When we start recognizing that God will hear your voice in the little that may not seem much to anybody else,
But if God can shift the weather, and we say, oh, we just missed it. No, God divinely blew on that weather for us to be shifted in another direction. Because you have to realize, as a child of God, you have power. God has given you power because we were born in the image and the likeness. We were made of the image and likeness of God. And then when I got connected with God, he has given his children a power to stomp over scorpions and any creature. There is no weapon that is formed against you that will prosper.
Yeah.
So we didn't see what could have happened.
Mm-mm. Yes, that's
but
right.
But he turned it in our favor. So we've got to realize that there's some things that we can speak into existence and alter and change.
Amen.
And so because God has given us power, we are the people of God. And God has given his children power over the things of the enemy.
Amen.
So that shows you what you are capable of doing.
Amen.
When you recognize your faith works, my God, people of God, when you start recognizing that your faith works, how do I get my faith to work? When my faith starts working is when I recognize that when I ask God to force something or to do something, he said, all you have to do is ask. The problem that we have is that we don't want the wait time.
Yes.
We don't want to wait for it to come and be manifested. But it doesn't mean that you don't have the power to speak it.
Amen.
When you speak it, God, then you have to wait for it. You wait on God's timing and his will for it to happen. So when I speak a certain thing into my life, or there are things that I desire that are in the will, let's be very clear. When it is in the will of God,
that's right.
Not just your will, because some things we speak are not necessarily in the will of God. And some things, I'm so glad he didn't give me what I asked for.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
That's a good thing right there.
Thank you, Lord.
There's some things that we ask for in our youthful spiritual mind that we ask for, our immature minds. We ask God for certain things, not knowing that at the next 5 or 10 years later, those things are not going to be beneficial to us and be more harmful for us. That's why God is always looking out for us. So sometimes we get upset with God because I feel like God should have given me what I asked for. You said ask anything in my name. Some things you ask for are not in his will.
Amen.
And when we ask it out of the will of God, when we don't get it, it's not that God is not capable of giving it to us. It's something that we don't need for our future.
Yeah.
And so I've learned that when I ask God for something, God, if it be your will, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus said, let this cup pass from me, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus was like, well, I could alter this if you allow me, but if that's not your will, then I want to do what your will is and not my want.
Right. That's good.
Okay, you gotta understand there's a difference between your wants and God's will.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's a lot of people who want $100 million, but there's a lot of people who can't handle $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, Pastor, I can handle it, I can handle it, I can handle it. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of people who have had that amount of money and within 10 years they've lost all of it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So there, God prepare me. This is some things that we need to share with you today. God, whatever you have or blessings that you have for me, prepare me to receive the blessings from you.
Amen.
So that I won't squander or I won't mess over what you've given me.
Yeah.
Watch this. The children of Israel were God's chosen people. They were the first ones that God came to offer this gift of salvation to. And they messed over it. They turned away from it. They didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
God said, what you don't want, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to understand that there are so many things and so many facets that God has blessed us as human beings and how we are. The one thing I realize is that the more I fall in love with God,
Amen.
The better understanding I have of my purpose.
Amen.
Amen.
Why? Because I hunger then and I then thirst after rightness.
Yes.
That's good.
Because
that's
when
good.
You have a passion for God, you alter the things in your life that are not like God so that your life will fit in the will that God wants for you.
That's good. Amen.
That's powerful.
That's
life changing, y'all.
Yeah.
Because when I have a passion for God, anybody that's on the line tonight who has a passion for God understands mm-hmm. what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Before you had a relationship with God, there are certain appetites that you had that you don't have now.
Amen.
There are certain places that you would have gone to that you wouldn't be caught dead going to now.
Right.
Because of the connection that I now have with God, I have no longer the desire to do the things, or you should not have the desire to do the things mm-hmm. that are out of his will. And mm-hmm. the more that I am closer to God, the more I understand my who I am, where I'm from, mm-hmm. why I'm here, and the things that I can do, and exactly where I'm going. I know where I'm going. See,
Amen.
It's I was at a funeral maybe about I think it was last year, and a good friend of mine had transitioned, and she had diabetes, and she had a nurse that was with her through her illness, and she would minister to her even in her sickness, and she had the opportunity to get up and say something at the homegoing service. And she said, this woman of God spoke into my life, and she prayed for me. She shared Jesus with me. And she said something that was so powerful. She said, it must be good to know where you're going.
That's good.
You,
wow.
Let me tell you something.
That's
it's
good
to know where you're going. Because you can't share that much and have that much passion of God and share it with me, and you're not going where he is.
Yeah.
See, the thing is my desire, my purpose, is I after all I've been through, all mm-hmm. the stuff that I've been caught up in, all the stuff that I've done wrong, and I'm now on the mm-hmm. right track with God, oh, my mm-hmm. God, we sing this song out, to be caught up to meet him, caught up to meet him in air. That's where I want to be. I want to be caught up with Christ, because to be absent
yes.
from the body means to be present with the Lord. Watch this.
Yes,
that is not for everybody. That scripture is not for everybody. Just because you're absent from your body don't mean that you're going to be necessarily present with the Lord.
That's right.
But some, not in the place where you think you might be going, because you know there are people out here thinking everybody's going to heaven.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what they do, matter what lifestyle they live, all of us going to heaven. I beg to differ. I promise you, I have been doing my best to live according to the word and the will
mm-hmm.
of God. And you come across and do everything that you are not supposed to do, and we're going to
mm-hmm.
be sitting together in heavenly places. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. God's going to have to share some stuff with me. But I believe the word of God, and I believe God's word is true. It doesn't alter. It doesn't change. Just because we showed up and we have a different mindset, God's creation is the same creation that it's always been. It has not changed or altered because we are in the year of the millennium. It's not altering change because we have all this multimedia and we have all these different things that we have the knowledge of now. Man's knowledge is going further, but yet it's still not enough knowledge to override God's knowledge.
Amen.
And so all the things, when I start looking at God's creation and I start looking at everything that God has done, it helps me understand that my purpose is for real. Because everything that God created, it is still in the form that it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The sun is still shining, and the moon still glows.
Amen.
The stars are still hung into space, and the water is still divided from the water. Those things were talked about in the book of beginning.
Yeah.
Look at this. We are still in we are now in 2017, and this, all the things that God created in his word is still doing what it's supposed to do. Yeah. It is functioning the way it's supposed to function under the order of God.
Amen.
One of the things that does not stay in the order or function of God, of God's creation, is man.
Yes, that's right.
That is one of the major creations that mm-hmm. God has created that does not do its function.
Mm-hmm.
I was not created to be a murderer.
That's right.
I was not created to be a liar.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I wasn't created to be a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
That was not my original design of creation. That was not the original order of God. But because things have been twisted and turned around, I find myself, you find yourself in a world where we are lashing out. There's racism. There's murdering. People killing babies.
Yeah.
Children killing parents.
Yeah.
And we don't know what, from one day to the next, what we're going to wake up to, because man is not serving or doing his ordained purpose.
My God.
And when the people of God, and when we have come to as people of God, start coming together and knowing our purpose, who we are, where we're from, what we're supposed to do, what we can do, and where we're going, let me tell you, there's nothing that's impossible to stop you from that.
Amen.
One thing I realize is that if don't nobody else care or don't nobody else like you, you got to stick to your divine assignment and purpose.
Amen.
Because a lot of times we alter how we feel and what our purpose is based on other creation.
Mm-hmm.
This is powerful, y'all, right here.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
There are a lot of people who stop doing what they're supposed to do in the things of God because someone else who got here the same way you did had an issue with you.
That's good.
They were not your creator. They harmed you in some way, or they made you feel some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And you found yourself backing away from the things of God because of some creation that he made you feel some kind of way. Let me tell you something. You've got to get to the place where nothing shall separate you from God.
All right. That's good.
Why? Because the order of God is God first.
Mm-hmm.
Before I do anything else in life, I've got to acknowledge that God is God. There is no other God except our God.
Amen.
And so when I realized and I put my all into him, somebody said, I want us to understand that's why God has ordained steps. God didn't say, oh, it's just all about me. All you can do is focus on me. He said, no, I'm going to give you family.
Mm-hmm.
And see, sometimes we can get so radical that we don't live a balanced life. Notice
Amen.
That you got to have purpose. You can laugh and be a
Amen.
Worshiper.
Amen.
You can mm-hmm. you can go and enjoy your family and still be a praiser. You can still read other books. See, the thing
mm-hmm.
is that we feel like we can't do certain things because, oh, that's not of God, that's not of God. And a lot of times we don't realize that we're taken away from our balance. You have to be careful. Watch this. You have to be careful. If you're going to read a book, you got to be careful what you read.
Amen.
It doesn't always have to be a spiritual book.
Amen.
But you have to be careful what you impart in your life. You can go to the movies, and I know there's some saints that say, oh, God, I know we came up in a day where you can't go to the movies. You couldn't do anything. You can go to the movies.
Yes, you can.
Watch this. But you got to be careful what movie you go to.
Amen.
Because all of the things that you have you're doing is imparting in your spirit. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Someone said, well, I can't go to a party because I don't want to be around sinners. Well, you got to go to the job. You got to work. Everybody that comes to your job ain't saved. And you speak and you have conversation with them. But you have to be careful of your conversation.
Amen.
Watch this. You can't indulge in every conversation in your job.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even have your own some input on some of the things that are said in your job because some things are ungodly. And so sometimes mm-hmm. you got to move yourself out of the conversation. You don't move yourself out the job, but you move yourself out of a conversation because I'm not going to allow somebody to impart this mm-hmm. into my life when I know what the right thing is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to try to prove to me that stacking is right and marriage is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to remove myself out of the conversation to let you know that, okay, that's your opinion, but I'm going to stand on God's word because his word is a little bit stronger and more foundational than your opinion.
Amen.
And see, a lot of times we get caught up in people's opinion based on how we live in society. So it makes sense to us. So since it makes sense to us, it must be right.
Mm.
No. If it is not in the order of the word of God, it ain't right. I don't care how you fix it. It's not right. All right? So we want to do what God's order is. The one thing I love about God is that God gives us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. He's God. He's more. He's a God of more than a second chance. Because
mm-hmm.
when I look over my life, he's a God of so many chances, and still giving me chances. And that's why his mercy is new every morning. Those are the ways that God gives me another opportunity, another chance to get it right. So don't beat yourself up, people of God, because you didn't get it right yesterday or you didn't get it right today. If God wakes you up in the morning, that's a brand new mercy to start all over again.
Amen.
Keep on doing it until you get it right. Nobody said that everything that you do is going to be perfect. That's why God gave us an opportunity to ask God for his forgiveness day in and day out.
Amen.
Because he wants you to make it. Y'all hear that? He wants you to make it. It is his will. It's in his will for you to make it. So we are chosen people of royal priesthood. We're not better than anybody else. We're just unique. We're better. We're not better than the person that's sitting outside that don't know God. We're not better than the atheist. We just have to take the opportunity to speak to that person that does not know God.
Amen.
So they can come a part of the fold of God. Amen. So I want to impart that into you. I want to build your faith. I want you to know that you have purpose. I want you to know who you are in God. I want you to know who you are in God. Whenever you hear this being imparted in you, you need to know that when I walk out the door, I'm a child of God.
Yes.
And I'm not backing off the enemy. The enemy needs to back off of me because of who I'm connected to.
That's good.
Tell it.
Mm-hmm. Tell it right.
We a lot of times bow down to the enemy
mm-hmm.
because we think he's stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But how is he stronger than your God? And God said, I'm in you.
That's good.
I dwell in you. And so you've got to let the enemy know, listen, I don't care what you say, devil. I know what you're trying to do. But I have a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
And he is the God that will change. And see, what you have to understand is that the enemy can't do anything unless God allows it.
Yes, that's right.
So know this, that if anything happens, God allows it, watch this, you come out of it to give God the glory.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever test and trial that I'm going through, okay, I'll deal with it. It may be a hard test. But I promise you, I'm a pass.
Amen.
And that's the whole thing about any time that you took a test in life during school time, that test could have been so hard.
Hmm.
We may not be excited about the score, but we're grateful we passed.
Amen.
Why? Because I recognize, now I may not pass it the way I wanted to, but my next time, that I take the next test and trial, I'm going to ace that test.
Amen.
Because it's a learning experience. And some tests I had to take over. See, what you must understand is that you're not going to necessarily always win the battle.
Yes.
Or you may not always win the fight, but you're going to always mm-hmm. win the battle. Mm-hmm. You may not always win the fight, but you will always win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when I realized after all that I've gone through, my enemy is going to have to wave the white flag. So I'm going to open this up. We got about 10 minutes, if that. And I just want to I wanted to give you something to empower you on tonight to let you know that you're greater than you even know. And I want to share that with you because there may be somebody on this line tonight who has their self-esteem is low, maybe because a part of creation told you you weren't worth anything. I'm here to tell you, you're worth more than gold. Blessing to your Heavenly Father. So I'm opening up the lines. Anybody want to share anything today? Anybody have any questions concerning what we have shared today? You are willing and you're ready to say something. Please, please, please feel free. Amen.
All the mics are open.
Amen. I'm not going to keep y'all. If there's questions, you have the questions, you can kind of jump in. I'm going to finish these few minutes understanding that we do have divine purpose, and I want us to understand that the things that God has given to us are things that we must treasure. The very gift that God has given to us, we must treasure.
Yeah.
Don't take the talent and the gifts that God has given you. Don't take them lightly because they serve a purpose for everything. I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to let you go. I look at my grandson, my oldest grandson, and he's a drummer. He's been playing drums since he could hear a sound of a beat. And when he was a little bit younger, he would introduce himself as, "My name is Judah Malachi Harris, and I am a drummer." He would give his full name and what he believed was his occupation.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get paid for it, but it was a talent that God gave him. But this young man, as a little boy, knows his purpose is to beat those drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter, she showed me she sent me a little film of my oldest grandson on the drums, and then my baby grandson on the organ. He ain't but 18 months old, and I started dancing because I said, "Lord, I want one of them to play."
Wow.
And even though there was nothing coming out of the organ, let me tell you something, he looked like he knew what he was doing. And I thank God right there.
Yeah.
Because you got to realize that there are things that are in you that you don't even know that exist. But until you get to the place where you walk into it, watch this, you're not going to be perfect in it because the gift has to be perfected in you.
Amen.
So don't walk away from the gift because it's not perfect, but also recognize that that's your gift. If you're not gifted to sing but nowhere in the shower, recognize that's where it's supposed to be.
Amen.
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 Everything don't belong on the microphone or in karaoke. Some stuff just belongs between you and God, and it sounds wonderful. But the other gifts that you have, that you do them well. Amen. Do them well. And just because you don't have the gift, you know, there's certain gifts that I really, really desire from God, but I don't have that gift. So I walk in the gift that God gives me.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And you know what? I'm telling you, we're laughing, but the truth of the matter is that when you are out of order,
mm-hmm.
out of the gift that you're in, it can throw off sync everything that you're supposed to be doing because you're supposed to be a writer, you should be an author, but you're trying to be a sing.
Wow.
And you're trying to make
that's
CD
good.
When the gift
that's
was
good.
The writing of the song, not the singing of it.
Right. That's good. That's
all right.
Good.
So let's walk in our gift and walk in our purpose, our divine purpose. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Elder Clay if he would take it from here and close us out in prayer, if he would be so kind.
Amen. 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 And I just want to add that that you have definitely empowered us tonight with the word
yes.
that you've shared with us.
Yes.
I like that title. You have divine purpose. And that is
yes.
so true. We walk around and don't know, you know, what our purpose is. Walking around, don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but you have just given us food for thought for those who are walking around confused and don't know what they're doing. And I'm praying that those who are on listening by internet, or if you're listening by phone and the lines are lit up, I'm praying that, you know, that you, your ear gate was open, and because the word has been spoken, and all you have to do is walk in it. Amen. All you have to do is walk in the word. We are under the order of God and not the order of man. So you have definitely given me some words to think about as I move forward with my purpose. So I do thank you so much. And may God bless you and continue to use you as a vessel, a woman of God, to empower those that come your way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to have prayer. We're lifting up a few people this evening that have, we definitely keep on our prayer list. That is Pastor Robinson from out of Tennessee. He has asked for continued prayer. Pastor Paul Robinson, Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Stuart Hawthorne from Cleveland, and Tynette. Tynette Dickerson from out of North Carolina.
I want to add my cousin Cynthia Garland Taylor, Gwendolyn Stevenson,
yes.
Patsy Cosby, Les Matlock.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Prayer for a baby that was born premature, who is still having respiratory problems, and that's a little more than his baby.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Oh, and I know that you're... I'm sorry, go ahead, please. Someone else like to call out a name or someone that they'd like to pray for? Okay, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this time, Lord, just to this sacrificial time out for you. We pray, Lord, Father, that your word that has been spoken, Heavenly Father, would resonate in the ear gate, Heavenly Father, those who listen. Father, we know, Lord, that in your word you said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And, Father, we believe in your word, Father. We believe in it. Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you, those names that we call out, Father, you know their need, Heavenly Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would meet them right where they are, Heavenly Father. Lord, Father, you always be with us and you would never leave us. And we thank you for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, for Minister Dixon, Pastor Dixon, Heavenly Father, Lord, as she continues, Heavenly Father, to proclaim the gospel, that you use her, Heavenly Father, to empower those that come in her way, Heavenly Father, in front of her, even those, Heavenly Father, that have heard the word on the airways, Heavenly Father, Lord, that the word goes out, Heavenly Father, that empowers those that are listening by internet. We thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you said that we could come together where there's two or three, that you would be in the midst. We believe, Father, that you have been in the midst, and we thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you.
We know that with you we can do all things. Without you, we can do nothing, Father. Let us move by faith, Heavenly Father, and not by sight. We know that you are God, Heavenly Father. We have the last word on any situation, any circumstance, whatever we're going through. You are God who has the last word, Father. And we lean, we depend on your word, Father. We thank you for who you are, what you've done, and what you're going to do in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
So, Those of you that tuned in, we do thank you. We'll be back next week. We invite you back next week on Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, God bless you. We love you, but God bless you most.
God bless you.
I face the dawn.